This is Millard Mitchell inviting you to listen now to Hollywood Star Playhouse, brought to you by the Bakers of America. Hollywood Star Playhouse. 30 minutes of mystery,
thrill, stay in, and
by Hollywood's finest writers featuring Hollywood's top stars. Brought to you by the Bakers of America through the cooperation of your baker. Hello there, this is Wendell Niles. In a moment, we'll bring you Act One of today's partially transcribed story, The Big One, starring Mr. Millard Mitchell. Friends, depend on the Bakers of America to help you serve better meals through bakery foods. They're specialists, these bakers, men who have made a career of baking. Not only are they skilled through years of baking experience, they're continually bettering their products with the aid of scientific research and with improved, newly developed equipment. The Bakers of America have gone to great lengths to meet your demands for fine, wholesome bakery foods. They have set up hundreds of baking plants throughout the nation where they employ large-scale methods of baking. They have developed fast, modern means of distribution so that you may buy this bread fresh each shopping day. These are the Bakers of America, the men who supply the 40 million loaves of bread we Americans eat every day, the men who prepare a wide assortment of other delicious bakery foods for your mealtime pleasure. Yes, for variety, convenience, economy, for nutritious good eating, you can depend on the Bakers of America to help you serve better meals through bakery foods. And now, Act One of The Big One, starring Mr. Millard Mitchell.
One roast beef sandwich, coffee black. Friends, may I have your indulgence for just a moment? I take pleasure in presenting the one and only, the magnificent Donovan, mentalist extraordinary, mind reader and purveyor of fun, magic, and mystery, disciple of the tarot, instructed in this dark art by the forgotten gypsies of Sir Baloo on the night of the Red Tempest. I now stand before you ready to reveal the secrets which lodge in the darkest recesses of the subconscious. And the cost? Ha ha, friends, the compensation is slight. Four times being what they are, and the ambrosial concoctions of the great culinary artist Champagnier being out of the question, a simple, small, round, juicy, and rare hamburger will suffice beautifully.
Oh, beat it, Harry. Nobody's interested.
Hold! There in the corner booth, I see a young man. He sits alone, dissatisfied, dejected. I see a world of print, of ink and foolscap revolving around his head, halo-like. Of course, he's a newspaper man, a man who has given his all to his employers and to his craft, and who now has cast aside like rubbish. Am I right, my friend?
Yeah, you're right.
A waiter, a menu, please.
Okay, mister.
Sure, why not?
Bless you, my friend. Let me see now. The blue plate special seems inviting. Are the ribs choice, waiter?
So-so.
Splendid. The blue plate special it is.
Right. One blue plate.
Hey, how'd you know I was a newspaper man, that I've been canned?
A practiced eye plus a bit of luck is all it takes. An Alpha Delta signet ring, so you're a journalist. That woozy look in your eyes, plus a thick black coffee you're sipping, speaks of trouble. And what makes a young, energetic newspaper man go off the deep end? Either trouble at home or trouble at the factory. Now you don't look married, therefore...
Yeah, seems simple enough. Hey, tell me, a guy with your nimble brain, how'd you ever end up like this? You know, begging for scraps.
Ah, my friend, the answer would necessitate my telling you a story so utterly fantastic that you'd never believe it. No one ever does.
Well, try me.
As you wish. Tell me, did you ever hear of the gypsy switch?
You mean that carnival gimmick with the shells?
I'm talking about the big switch, the gypsy switch, the Ocanavora. There's only one of them ever happened in carnival history, and you're staring at the guy who pulled it. See me 20 years ago, the magnificent Donovans. We were a mentalist act, nothing shoddy like Carney, strictly big time, tops in the line, vaudeville and private engagements.
Mm-hmm.
Dory, my wife, was my partner.
The world was our oyster. There was just one thing we lacked. And then one day, even that prayer was answered. How is she, Doctor? When can I see her?
Mr. Donovan, your wife gave birth to a beautiful baby girl.
Yes, well, great. But, Dory, can I go and see her now?
I'm afraid, Mr. Donovan, that you can't.
What are you... Oh, no!
Dory was gone, and I blamed the kid for it. I drew all the savings we had out of the bank and carried my daughter straight from the hospital to an orphan home up in the country. When I got there, the reception hall was deserted, so I just left her there. And 8 years melted away like ice in a furnace. The carnivals got me then, and for all I cared, they could have me. On this particular night, I found myself head talker in a cheap tent show down south. Yeah, my friend, I'd left the Memphis routine back with Dory. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. But I never could quite forget that little bundle I'd left in the orphan home. 8 years had left all the bad blood out of me. And I began wondering about her. A few discreet inquiries told me that her name was Catherine, and that she was a fine, healthy, happy kid. My mind was filled with her, and plans for a big reunion occupied all my thoughts. And though I didn't know it at the time, it was the first step in the gypsy switch, the big one, the Ocanabora.
Hurry, hurry, hurry! You'll step this way, folks. I want to call your attention to the amazing, fantastic, exotic attractions now about to start within the confines of the tent directly behind me. Ladies and gentlemen, among other things, you will witness one of the most spectacular performances...
Hey, Harry, Harry.
Go away, Billy. Not during the pitch.
Ladies and gentlemen...
No. Somebody's here to see you, Harry. An old geezer, dressed to kill. Must be worth $1 million. He's waiting outside your trailer.
Okay, Billy, take over, will you?
Sure thing.
Hurry, 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 ladies and gentlemen. The giant fight
is about to begin. Hiya. Understand you're looking for me.
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Harry Donovan?
That's my name. Come on in. Well, what can I do for you, Mr.
Bolton, sir. Henry Bolton.
Hiya.
Quite a come down, eh, my friend?
Huh?
You've come a long way from the days of the magnificent Donovan, haven't you?
Listen, if you want to rehash old times, Mr. Bolton, I can take a night off sometime. But if you don't mind, I'm pretty busy right
now. But I am not interested in old times, Mr. Donovan. It's the future I want to talk about. I have need for Harry Donovan. Not the carnival grifter, but the magnificent Donovan. The mind reader, clairvoyant. And what I need, I pay for.
I'm listening.
Do you remember the evening you performed at the home of John Arlington in Long Island?
Yes, I remember. Some layout.
And you've probably forgotten, but that evening I decided to show you up for the fake I assumed you were. I challenged you before all the guests to read my mind. And you did. Well, you knocked the wind out of my sails, Donovan. I've never quite gotten over that evening.
Well, I don't rightly remember, but I must have been lucky that night.
Luck? Nonsense. There are people with special mind reading, let us say, clairvoyant powers, Donovan. And you are one of those people.
Yeah, perhaps you're right.
I know I'm right. I've spent a good deal of money tracing you down to this backwater, and I'm prepared to spend a good deal more to secure your services.
Mm. What's your figure?
I am ready, Mr. Donovan, to pay you $50,000 for a few minutes' use of your great gift.
$50,000? What am I expected to do?
Simply read a mind for me.
Read a mind?
You'll find that amusing.
Look here, Bolton. What if I were to tell you that it was all a gag? That I have no special gifts? That it's all a routine, a hype?
Mr. Donovan, I have spent a great deal of money to find you because I am firmly convinced that you are the only person who can help me.
What's your proposition?
We will leave for New York City in exactly 1 hour and... 18 minutes. I have our plane tickets. I shall explain all en route. That's satisfactory?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. T- 2 hours later, Bolton and I were winging our way to the City of Lights, and me with my mouth wide opening, listening to one of the craziest deals I ever heard in my life.
You no doubt are familiar with the names Gerald Raisling and Cynthia Raisling.
No, can't say that I am.
Oh, good Lord, man, there was enough about them in the newspapers 8 years ago.
8 years ago, I was pretty much out of touch with things.
I'll give you the picture briefly. Gerald Raisling, the multimillionaire, separated from his wife soon after their daughter Cynthia was born. He was granted custody of the child, and upon his death, he left a $7 million estate to Cynthia. I was appointed executor of the estate and legal guardian of the child.
You mean he didn't leave a cent to his wife?
Mildred received nothing. At Gerald's death, Cynthia was approximately 4 months old. Now, immediately after the funeral, Cynthia Raisling was kidnapped from her crib.
Kidnapped?
Yes, and Mildred vanished at the same time. Now, there's never been any doubt in my mind, or in the police's for that matter, that Mildred had kidnapped her own child. No expense was spared trying to trace them, but they were never found.
But didn't the police...
No. They followed down many leads, but all of them proved false. They still carry the case on the books as unsolved, but they haven't had a man on it for years.
They gave up?
Yes. But I didn't.
You found them?
No, not them, Mr. Donovan. Her. We have located Mildred, the mother.
And where's the child?
That is where you come in.
Me?
Yes. Detectives have traced Mildred to the charity ward of a New York hospital. She's dying. She can neither speak nor hear.
And you expect me to...
Exactly, Donovan. There is no doubt that she knows where Cynthia is. I want you to read her mind and secure the address.
Well, there it was. I'd never get Bolton to believe that I couldn't do it, so I had to figure out a way to get this woman, who was close to death, who couldn't talk and couldn't hear, to give me information that she didn't want to give me. Simply, relentlessly, the pieces were falling into place for the biggest gypsy switch of all times. The Ocanavora, the big one that con men and grifters from Maine to Maine only dream about once in their lifetime, was actually going to happen to me. And I wish to heaven it never had.
We'll return for Act Two of The Big One, starring Mr. Millard Mitchell, in just a moment. But first, let's listen in on a scene at their Randolph home a few doors down the block. Tommy has just come in for lunch.
Hi there, football player. Good game this morning?
It was okay, I guess.
Well, why so glum? Did you lose?
Nah, we won. 20-0.
Well, for their star halfback, you don't seem very happy about it.
I'm not their halfback anymore. I didn't even play.
What happened, for goodness sake? You better sit down and eat your lunch and tell me about it.
Oh, the coach says I'm slower than the other kids. Says I don't have any pep. I'm not hungry, Mom. Honest. I'm tired.
Well, that doesn't sound good coming from a husky teenager, does it? No pep, no appetite, and feeling tired in the middle of the day? But it's true of lots of children and teenage people today. And it's a fact that pound for pound, children burn up far more energy than do adults. To give them extra energy for their work and play, children need plenty of good food. And plenty of the right kind of food. One food that is always right for children is enriched bread. Because bread enriched with essential vitamins and minerals is energy-rich food. You see, bread is more than just one food. It's lots of good foods in one. Flour, milk, shortening, yeast, sugar, and salt are those foods. Foods generous in protein and calcium. And while your children are eating enriched bread, they're getting the wonderful health-giving vitamins of the B complex. Elements your children need every day to help maintain a well-balanced diet. So, help keep your youngsters and your whole family peppy and energetic. Help keep them healthy and strong by serving enriched bread each meal every day. Remember, too, bread supplies lots of food for very little cost. And now, Act Two of The Big One, starring Mr. Millard Mitchell.
ribs are delicious. Pass the salt, please.
Oh, sure, here. But go on with your story.
You know, mister, and you ought to know, being a newspaper man, it's these smart boys like Bolton who make the biggest suckers. I don't know why, I only know that it's a fact. Here's an intelligent man with every benefit that culture, education, and experience can give him, going for this medalist routine like a cat goes for cream. Why, he sincerely believed that I could approach this woman who couldn't hear and couldn't talk and get him the information he wanted by reading her mind. And he was willing to pay me $50,000 to do it. It meant a lot to me then. It meant that Catherine, my kid, and I could be together again. And for that, I was willing to take a crack at anything. Where are we heading to?
We're going directly to the hospital.
Tell me, does Mildred have a private room there?
Of course. I had her transferred as soon as we found her.
I won't be able to see her immediately.
Why not?
I'm not quite attuned to this latitude. I'll need a few hours of complete solitude away from the subject to get myself mentally acclimated.
Oh, well, very well, Donovan. I'll drop you off at my hotel. But remember, time is of the essence.
I don't suppose I could have a little advance?
Oh, certainly. Here you are. Here's $1,000.
We got to the hotel. Bolton accompanied me to the desk clerk and gave him authority to let me use his room. Then he left for the hospital, promising to send the rolls for me in 2 hours. I hurried up to his duplex suite, got on the phone, and had room service send up a bellhop on the double.
You sent for a bellhop, sir?
Look, I want you to do something for me, and it's important that it's done quickly, in less than an hour. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Good. Here's $100. Now take this pencil and paper and write down what I say. I want you to get me a surgical gown and cap.
Gown and cap?
A stethoscope.
Stethoscope?
A pad of paper and a heavy black pencil. Get it?
And a heavy black pencil. Yes, sir.
Now take cabs or anything you need. Only get that stuff back to me within an hour.
Right, sir.
And if anyone asks you any questions, you're a dummy, see? And keep the change.
Yes, sir.
The boy was back in less than an hour, and I spent the rest of the time concealing the equipment under my clothes. When I got to the hospital, I found Bolton pacing madly outside Mildred's door.
Well, Donovan, are you ready?
Mr. Bolton, I am now in contact with the rhythms of the Sir Baloo.
Oh, yes, splendid, splendid. We'll go in at once.
One moment. I must be with this woman alone. Only alone can I explore the innermost regions of her conscious and subconscious.
Very well. How long will it take you?
It's hard to say. Perhaps 10 minutes, perhaps an hour. And I am not to be disturbed for anything. You understand?
Yes, only hurry. There isn't much time. She's very low.
I stepped quietly into the room. The shades were drawn, and it was dark. I removed my coat and put on the surgical gown and cap and hung the stethoscope around my neck. I tiptoed to the bed and saw an aged, weary face with eyes staring miserably at nothing. I approached her tenderly and sat on the edge of the bed, took her wrist in my hand and felt for her pulse. Then I took out the pad of paper and with the heavy black pencil printed in bold letters, "Can you hear me?" Blink your eyes once for yes and twice for no. I held the message in front of her eyes, and she blinked twice to say no. So far, so good. The next message I wrote was, "I am a specialist here to help you. Do you trust me?" Her eyes dug into mine for a moment. Then she blinked yes. So I wrote, "This man, Bolton, do you wish to see him?" Terror as she blinked, "No." And my answer to her was, "Don't worry, Mildred. I'll see that he doesn't disturb you." She looked at me gratefully. So I threw caution to the winds and wrote, "Are you worried about your daughter?" Her eyes opened wide, and she stared at me for a long moment. And then finally her eyelids moved. "No." "Is she well?" I wrote. And her answer was yes. Then I saw a tear trickle down her cheek. So I had a hunch, and I played it for all it was worth. I wrote, yes, Mildred, Cynthia is in heaven now. And through the tears, her eyes became tranquil with peace and contentment as she blinked, yes. So the child was dead. My hunch was right. The child was dead, and I was the only one who knew it. Yes, Cynthia was dead. And for the first time, the picture presented itself before my eyes. A picture of a little girl about the same age as Cynthia would be, coming into $7 million. My little girl, Catherine. And this was the big one. The one that only men dream about. It was mine, handed to me on a silver platter to play it as I saw it. The big one was mine. I turned to Mildred. Her eyes would blast. Non-seeing. She was dead. I gotta get rid of this. There.
Well, were you successful? Could you get to her before she died?
Yes, Bolton. I got what you wanted.
Here, down the corridor where we won't be heard. Now, where is the child? Where is she? Good grief, man, start talking.
Mr. Bolton, I'll give it to you exactly as I got it.
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
I saw a field with mountains in the distance. And then I saw a house, large, mansion-like.
Yes.
With many children playing near a brook that ran alongside.
Yes.
There were men and women, attendants in uniform, playing with the children, and I realized that this was an institution, an orphan's home.
That's it. She's in an orphan's home.
And when I saw a woman, she looked like Mildred. And the child she singled out was a beautiful, dark-haired, blue-eyed girl called Catherine.
Dark hair, blue eyes, Catherine. An assumed name, of course. Seems to check. But where is this orphan's home?
I saw a bus passing the highway that skirts the mansion. And its sign carried the legend, Montag, New York.
An orphan's home in or about Montag. I'll find it, and I'll find Catherine.
Well, did he find her? Did she get the $7 million?
Yeah, Bolton found her. And they left immediately for an extended cruise to South America. Oh, she was a real Cinderella girl. The papers played it up big for a couple of days.
Well, what are you so depressed about? He gave you the $50,000, didn't he? You fixed up your child for life. Why the skid?
Yeah, I sure fixed her up, but good. The morning the ship pulled out, I went down to the pier to take a look at my kid. Finally, I spotted her. She was an 8-year-old beauty, and every inch of her was my wife, Dory. She was dressed to kill, and Bolton was behind her, smiling happily as they boarded the ship. Yeah, it was great. All I had to do was figure out ways to invest my capital. When all of a sudden, 2 months later, my world dropped out from under me. It was on page 3 of the Times. A small article. It told of a storm in the doldrums and a ship in distress. The ship had weathered the storm and had made port safely with the loss of only one passenger, who had accidentally been washed overboard. A little girl named Cynthia Riseling. My Catherine! I went to the police.
Your story is incredible, Donovan.
I tell you, he killed her, Inspector. He killed her for the money. It adds up from every angle. Check on the will. See if the money doesn't go to him on her death. I tell you, that's the reason he had to find her. That's why he paid a fortune to locate her. With her still alive, he couldn't touch the dough.
And you say it was really your daughter?
Yes. Heaven forgive me. I pulled a switch. I wanted to do her a good turn.
But you can't prove it. You can't prove that she was your daughter. You can't prove that it wasn't an accident on board that ship. After all, Bolton couldn't have anticipated that storm.
If it wasn't that storm, it would have been another. Can't you see, Inspector? He was desperate. He took her without once checking facts. When does a person give another person $7 million without checking facts?
He probably believed in you. No, I'm sorry, Donovan. Well, even if what you say about the will is true, you can't convict a man on motive alone. Bring me some real proof.
Proof? Why, you tin whistle jerk. What more proof do you want?
Take it easy, Donovan.
Proof? The man says, okay, I'll bring you proof.
I'll hand you his rotten jargons on a silver platter.
Yeah, it's a tough break. Did you ever get anything on Bolton?
No. It was my 50 grand against his millions. I used up the dough in no time, hiring detectives to trace down and question every passenger on board that ship. But it was no good. Then one night I went to his house with a gun. That didn't work either. I crashed in and took a couple of shots at him, but only nicked him. I was sent up for assault. I spent the next 10 years on ice. And that, sir, brings us foolishly to the end.
Wow.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I must be going.
How about another cup of coffee?
Thank you, no. 5 is my limit. The meal was delicious, and I'm very much obliged to you, sir.
Nothing at all. Hey, tell me, this guy Bolton, is he still alive?
No, he died a natural death 4 years ago.
My golly, even though I've been canned, I'm still a newspaper man at heart. Maybe I can do something with this.
Why bother? It's all in the past.
Well, anyway, here. Maybe you can find some use for this.
A fin. Bless you, my friend. Bless you.
Son of a gun.
Be wanting anything more?
No. That guy Donovan.
Yeah, what about him?
Oh, nothing. Thought I had it bad.
Let me see. He had the blue plate special. That'd be the big one. The tearjerker about the kid and the $7 million.
Yeah, that... It isn't true?
No, I don't know. You paid the price of a blue plate special to hear it. So does everybody else. That's the one they get for the blue plate special. Now, our turkey dinner. Well, that's another story.
Yeah, but it sounded so legitimate.
Who knows? Maybe it is.
Thank you, Millard. That was one of the finest stories we've heard in a long, long time.
Couldn't have done it without a good strip, Wendell. And without the help of this fine cast. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise right up here and talk to Byron Kane, Paul Richards, John Stevenson, Bob Griffin, and Herb Vigran. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks again, Millard. We'll hear from our star of next week's Hollywood Star Playhouse, Lynn Berry, right after our Bakers of America home economist, Miss Helen Reed, offers this suggestion for a hearty breakfast that's quick and easy to fix. Miss Reed?
Thank you, Mr. Niles. I don't know of another food served at breakfast that can quite match the appetite appeal of sweet rolls. In the first place, sweet rolls have a goodness all their own. They're delicious, and grown-ups and children love them. Secondly, sweet rolls are quick and easy. There's nothing to fix. Just start your coffee perking, serve up your fruit, cereal, or bacon and eggs, then set out a plate of sweet rolls. They make hearty breakfast out of ordinary breakfast. Thirdly, sweet rolls are wonderfully nourishing. You get milk, flour, and sugar, and shortening rolled in. Protein, calcium, and other essential elements when you serve sweet rolls. And last of all, and very important, too, you can satisfy so many different tastes when you serve sweet rolls because you can always find such an interesting variety at your food store. Caramel rolls, butter horns, custard-filled delicacies, and ever so many other kinds. Get several different kinds of sweet rolls and find out how they can help you fix hearty breakfasts quick and easy.
Thank you, Miss Reed. And now here is our star of next week's Hollywood Star Playhouse, Miss Lynn Berry.
The cheat. The double-crossing cheat. With all his theory about mind over matter and his $200,000. But he cheated. He robbed me. He chose his own time to die and he robbed me. The dirty cheat.
Millard Mitchell can soon be seen in the MGM production, The Naked Spur. Tonight's partially transcribed story was written especially for Mr. Mitchell by Frank DeFelita. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the Bakers of America with an invitation to be with us again next Sunday for Hollywood Star Playhouse. Enjoy another half hour of fine dramatic entertainment brought to you direct from Hollywood by the Bakers of America, who are helping you serve better meals through bakery foods.
This is NBC, the nation's headquarters for election news.